Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are still virtual. We're not in our normal spot in our studio inside Renaissance Bank, but hopefully we'll be back relatively soon. But in the meantime, the folks at Renaissance continue to serve small businesses and do that well, and we've got our own experience with that. And if you're looking for a more personalized home for your small business, check them out. The branches are still closed to walk-ins, but you can make an appointment and go visit them in the branch. And of course, the drive-throughs are always open, and they can actually open accounts in the drive-through, believe it or not. So call your friendly Renaissance banker or go to renaissancebank.com and check them out there. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we've got two great guests. We've got Melanie McGriff from Kids Creek Therapy and Bradley Carroll from Frazier and Dieter, a great CPA firm. But first, I want to start with Melanie McGriff, and she's an owner and speech pathologist with Kids Creek Therapy. Melanie, welcome.
Hey, John. Thank you.
Great to have you on.
And I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, it's and I can already tell you do some awesome work, but tell folks how you serve the community.
Thank you so much. Sure. So Kids Creek has been in serving the children and families of North Atlanta. Specifically, we're located in the Suwanee area, and we do speech, occupational, and physical therapy with a lot of specialties under those three umbrellas. And we really focus on serving the family as a whole with the children that we work with. So we work with children who may have special needs, have some specific diagnoses, as well as children who may just be developmentally behind and need some support in reaching toward the goals and getting closer to the milestones that they should be at. And we like to work real close with the moms, the dads, the families, the support, the caregivers, and work toward achieving the results that those children need to be functional in whatever environments that they're in, whether that's school, home, out in play. And that's the heart of what we do.
Wow. A lot there to unpack, Melanie. But let's start with maybe for those that don't know what's involved with these different disciplines, whether that's speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy. Maybe you can unpack those a little bit for those that don't know what's involved with that those disciplines.
Sure. So speech therapy has a lot of different facets to it. So it can be children who are delayed in saying certain sounds correctly, or maybe they have a motor speech difficulty that their body just doesn't allow them to produce certain sounds. And speech therapists are the specialist in equipping them to be able to achieve that as a goal so that they can be understood. So some children may have so many speech errors that you can't understand what they say at all. Another part of speech therapy is to work on language development. So there are children who are behind some of the normal language skills that are achieved. So we expect children to be able to listen and follow directions at a certain age, to be able to, follow classroom rules because they've heard it one time. But if you have an issue in processing that information, those basic things that we just expect children to do can be difficult. So therapists also work, the speech therapist also work on that. Another area of speech therapy has to do with working with individuals who are stutterers, who have difficulty stuttering, and that's the area of fluency. And then one more area is in voice. So there are voice professionals who work specifically on vocal techniques, how not to be a vocal abuser because you can damage your vocal cords. So Kids Creek really focuses a lot on, as far as speech therapy, on the first three areas. So of speech, of the language, and of the fluency. And then one other specialty that we have in there also that is the area speech therapist has to do with feeding issues. So we work with a lot of children who have feeding disorders that are really, it's definite feeding problems in the way that they eat, or the lack of foods that they will tolerate. And then our other two specialties are OT and PT. So occupational therapy. You might be wondering why an occupational therapist would be necessary for a child, since they don't have an occupation, but they do. An occupational therapist works with a child on their occupation, which is play. Mm. So if a child can't play, then, you know, that child needs some joy in their life to be able to interact and play well with their peers, and also to do that at school as well. So our OTs are experts in how a child can play. And with that, they are the experts at fine motor skills. So they understand how to work with children on handwriting, tying shoes, and they are also our sensory experts. So all of us process sensory information differently in those environments that we consider our work and play, and they are the ones who help them to understand how to process that information without it overwhelming or underwhelming them. And then our physical therapists are the gross motor experts. So they're the ones who work with our kids on the running, the jumping, the climbing, and all of those fun things that kids do. And on the small side of that, I say small side, the baby side of that, is our PTs are the ones who work with moms and newborns around a diagnosis called torticollis, where babies don't move their head the correct way. And so that's where PT stretches from birth all the way up to adulthood, actually. So that's a lot to unpack, but that's in general, that is our shebang. That's all that we do.
That is, wow. I thought we were going to have to go to part two of the show here. I say that because I'm impressed with how the wide breadth of offerings and help that you give folks. I know this is a long answer and could be different for all the different issues that you discussed. How do I know when I need to engage you versus, hey, my child is just a little bit behind, right? Or maybe just, you know, lagging in a few areas. I mean, how do I know? Do I get referred by a physician, or how does that work?
Oh, that's a great question. So a lot of our patients do come to see us as a result of having talked to their pediatrician at their child's well visits. And pediatricians go through a checklist of developmental milestones to check with the parent to see kind of where their kids are in the development. A lot of times, though, we have moms who call and go, you know what, my mom gut is telling me something's not right. And we try to really encourage those moms to listen to the mom gut and to kind of let us come alongside them and just see what is it that you're concerned about. Where, you know, let us as the developmental experts tell you where they should be or what they need to be working on. There are a lot of resources, including information on our website about certain developmental milestones children should be reaching at certain ages. And that's a good place to start for parents. The other thing that we've been doing for several years that's been really great, I think, for our community is we do free consultations with parents. So if that mom calls in and she's just not sure what to do, then we're going to put her on the phone with one of our licensed experts so that she can talk through her concerns, and then we can provide them with either things they need to do at home just to help out their child, or to give them the guidance that, hey, maybe we do need to do an evaluation so that we can figure out where their child really is functioning at this time.
Now, Melanie, you own your practice there, as I understand it, with your husband, Shane. So let's shout out to Shane real quick.
Yeah.
And you've been in business for how long now?
For 16 years.
Wow.
So we're on sweet 16 in the middle of COVID.
Congratulations on that.
Right.
So making the jump from being, you've been obviously in practice for a long time, but then you decided to go into business for yourself. Talk about making that jump, and we'll talk about the near term in a minute, but talk about some of the highs and lows over those 16 years.
Yeah. So I worked, started my career in the public school system. So for 8 years, I was a school speech therapist and absolutely loved that. And then motherhood was brought into our life. And so that changes a lot about the dynamics of which way you want your career to go. So I took some time off for a while just to be mom, and then started doing some contract work through early intervention services. So I would see babies in their homes with the parents. And then I transitioned to a private practice, going into a clinic to work with OTs and PTs and speech, and really fell in love with that environment. And it was out of that that I knew, having talked to another friend of mine, that this was something that we could do. And we knew how we wanted our heart and our business to be. And so we started that out and really did not anticipate it being more than just a cute little speech practice and something that, you know, we just enjoyed doing. And we had such a big demand in our immediate community here when we first opened that we had to decide if we were going to grow bigger or not. And so we decided to take a big leap of faith and got a much bigger space, added staff, and the people kept coming. And so that's kind of been our story of where we've been. You know, and then that led to, after 13 some odd years, being in our last location, that we moved in December of 2019 to a brand new location, just across the street from where we were, but we're excited to be in an all brand new space.
Let's get that out. We'll do this again at the end of the show, but for those that can't wait, let's tell them exactly where you are.
So we are located directly on Johns Creek Parkway. Much to my delight, we are just a quarter mile down from Quick Trip. So,
there you go.
And Chick-fil-A.
Okay, awesome.
So we are on Johns Creek Parkway. We are neighbors to the Kroger right over here, which is convenient for our moms if they need to run and do some groceries while their kids are at therapy. But we are at 4055 Johns Creek Parkway, and we're in Suite A there in Suwannee.
That's great. Now, your move was, as it turns out, auspicious, right?
Who could have known?
Who could have known? Right? Yeah. So who could have known? But you, so let's set this up here for a second. You moved in 2019 to your brand new space there in Johns Creek. And you've got how many employees now at the time?
I have 15 employees.
Wow.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you get hit with the same thing we all got hit with, which is, the pandemic, COVID-19.
Right.
I assume you had to close down just like everyone else. And
we did.
Talk about that transition and what you had to do, because you've got, obviously, with the work you do, it's very hands-on, both figuratively and literally, right?
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. So when we work with children here, it's one-on-one. So it's only group situations if we're running special programs, but everything we do in therapy is one-on-one with the child, makes it very specialized. So yes, saying that we're going to keep 6 feet distance between us and a patient just doesn't work, because you've got 2 and 3 year olds who want to run and right. go in different directions. It really was, it was shocking because it was so unexpected. This, not something that you would think to plan for. I don't know that anyone other than people in high levels of healthcare would plan for a pandemic and how it might affect your business.
Sure.
I had to decide in a matter of just a few days to close the clinic down of how I was going to file unemployment for employees, try to figure out how to tell our parents what we might be able to do to support them. All of that had to happen in such a fast period of time. Mm. And we did do that. You know, we were able, we shut down. My office manager would still come into the office once a week just to check on things. And then we would do remote meetings, but we transitioned to doing as many of our patients through teletherapy as we could. But there are a lot of children who that's just not reasonable that you can do teletherapy with them. Mm. If they can't attend to other things in their environment, then they are probably not going to attend to you on a computer screen.
Right.
It was very shocking, but I feel like we handled it with as much grace as we could, given the information that we were given. Mm.
So you, obviously, you've got a lot of employees you're responsible for, not just your mm-hmm. patients, not just the children and parents. There was obviously a big issue there for a while in terms of what are we going to do? And then along comes PPP. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where, Bradley, we can bring you in because you intersect really kind of around here. So. Before we get to PPP, though, why don't you introduce yourself to folks and tell everyone about Fraser and Dieter?
Well, after listening to Melanie, I think I should have picked another guest to come on with. That's impressive and a hard act to follow. Now, Melanie, that's wonderful what you do. I'm so proud to hear that and to know you and know that you do that day in and day out. That's awesome. Fraser and Dieter, we're the 50th largest CPA firm in the nation. We have offices throughout the Southeast, Tennessee. We've got offices in Nashville, presence in Knoxville and Memphis, two offices in Metro Atlanta, Tampa, Charlotte, Las Vegas, Philadelphia. We've got a presence in Iowa, London, and I know I've missed some, but you'll have to forgive me because we're continuing to grow and expand. The website talks about all the different awards that Fraser Dieter has won and been recognized for, but anybody can read that. The reason I'm at Fraser and Dieter is because I was a client of Fraser and Dieter. And when my bank got acquired, where I was the chief audit executive, I had used Fraser and Dieter to help do some co-sourced audit work with me. And I knew the people, liked the people. It was a great opportunity. It kind of reminds me of the old commercial, and I'm going to date myself here, but there was a businessman who was so impressed with a razor company that he was on there on the commercial talking about, I was so impressed with the company or the razor, I bought the company. Well, I didn't buy the company, but I joined the company because I was so impressed with them. So it was just, it was the people I wanted to work with. So that's the best endorsement I can give Fraser and Dieter is that this is, I had a handful of opportunities when the bank was purchased and this is where I wanted to be. So it's a great firm, great people, and really enjoying myself here. People think CPA firms, I really think two things, especially business owners. That's taxes and financial statements. Yeah. And absolutely, that's where we've got a lot of people throughout our locations doing that. But I'm in our risk advisory group. We call our process, risk, and governance. And I'm the practice lead for our financial institutions practice. So mm-hmm. that's how I got into PPP is when we started looking at this back in actually late March, very early April. It was this is something that our clients are going to need to know about.
All right.
And it was SBA. SBA is financial services. So I was handed the reins and said, run with it, figure it out. Where are we going to be? What are we going to do? And very early on, talking to some of the bankers that I knew and just based on what I knew about banking, we decided to stay out of the application process. The application process was it was a one-page application with one page of certifications. Banks make loans every day, take applications every day. We figured they had it under control. And with it being a one-page application and payroll companies really helping to support the calculations needed, we just didn't see that there was a value add for Fraser and Dieter in that front-end process. So back in early April, we started focusing on the forgiveness portion of it. And mm-hmm. I can talk to you for a long time about the forgiveness, and I'll wait to get some questions on it so I can tell you just what you want to know rather than everything that I know about that.
Sure.
That thing is changing and developing. The president signed the PPP Flexibility Act last week, which changed a lot of things for a lot of borrowers.
Right.
Yesterday, there was a joint announcement between Treasury and SBA that modified something that was passed last week. So it's in constant change, and there's some very broad strokes with the headlines that look really good. But when you get into the news story and find out the details behind the headlines, there's some things you really got to pay attention to. And I'll probably say this, you know, with Melanie talking earlier about all of the languages and the words and the speech and everything, I'm sure that she just would love to get a hold of my Southern accent at times and just try to straighten that out for me.
Yeah. Well, she may need to get a hold of both of us, actually. But anyway, we'll let that go. She's got other more worthy patients to work on than you and me, Bradley. So I'd like to talk about kind of how the two of y'all intersected, because I mean you're not you work with institutions as clients, Bradley. So those are your clients, not really individuals and small businesses per se. Although, as you say, you know, as the firm, kind of asked you to step in on the PPP side because that was such a topical issue and help was needed there, as it were. So, but talk about how y'all started your conversations about PPP and where that came from.
Yeah. So as I started digging into this and researching it, Melly and I attend church together. We go to Peachtree Corners Baptist and are in the same Sunday school class, and just thought of her and Shane and reached out and said, hey, are y'all following this PPP? Are y'all applying for this? Is this a good fit for y'all? And it was just simple as making an introduction to them, to the concept. And they researched it and went from there. But it was just reaching out to people I knew as I was doing it for the firm and for the firm's clients and getting prepared for that. It was also just, like I said, just people I knew that knew it could help.
Yeah, maybe. And Melanie, what was your, as you kind of got into it, I mean, how did you see that program and how does it fit for you?
Yeah, so the great thing was that Brad was gracious to point us in the right direction to some local banks that we could consider that who were participating. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, because not all of the banks rolled up their sleeves to jump into this.
All right.
But we were very glad to have found a local bank that was a smaller bank to work with, because as I learned later from some of my professional peers who went with really large organizations and banks, they had a much more difficult time actually through the process. So that made a difference for us. As we heard more about PPP, we were really excited that there was even this option of something, because we were going to be looking at the possibility of losing our business, that it was just going to come down to, you know, the lack of revenue flowing for us. So we, when we found out that this was something that was going to be a possibility and then had an option of forgiveness, I mean, that's huge.
And we're not averse to you shouting out the smaller bank that you used if you wish to do that. So if you want to give them kudos, feel free, because that's what we're here for.
That's fine. Yeah. So we're working with Vinings Bank over in Alpharetta.
Awesome.
Have had really great support from them. Mm-hmm. And we're really impressed with their attention to the details and getting us through the process.
A big shout out to Vinings Bank in Alpharetta. And those, yeah, I know some of those folks over there, and they're terrific. So what? So obviously, there's been so many rules changes. I mean, Bradley mentioned the follow-on legislation that just got passed, but the rules changes alone have been kind of dizzying.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Melanie, maybe you can address kind of where you, how that works for you right now for your particular business. And then Bradley, maybe you can pick up on just kind of where you think we stand with this generally, and are there going to be more changes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Melanie.
So I think what it has been dizzying. So it's been a lot of work. And I've told a lot of people that for everyone having been quarantined, I've had to work more during quarantine than I typically would have to on a day-to-day basis in my business. Both as we were looking at receiving the PPP funds and then the whole tracking all of the paperwork that had to be done on the back end of it as well. And then you hear the rules are changing. And so you wonder if all the work you just did was still going to be valid. Mm. And while I understand that the government is trying to still make the modifications as they can to make it the most beneficial for the wide reach of people who are receiving it, it's still frustrating that, you know, you find out, you know, the last couple of weeks, well, it's not 8 weeks you've got to turn around. It's now 24 weeks. And we're like, oh, well, we're on our 8-week plan and that's it for us. Mm. So had we known sooner, we could have stretched it out. We could have helped it to benefit the business more, but now that's not an option. Mm. So, you know, it's one of those give and take things. You understand that it couldn't have all been perfect from the start. You know, I just wish whoever somebody is, right, might have given a little more guidance to say, hey, there might be still some changes coming around the corner.
Sure.
And it's not something that the banks would have known themselves either.
Yeah. I mean, the banks didn't go into 2020 thinking they're going to be processing, you know, $2 trillion worth of loans or whatever it was. Yeah, for sure. And it's amazing what the industry did in such a short period of time. But Bradley, I mean, how do you see the rules as they stand today? Obviously, there's been some changes in terms of the forgiveness, the qualifications for forgiveness. How do you see that with the new legislation and maybe forthcoming rules changes or modifications?
So I guess we probably need to start from what it was.
Sure.
So as Melanie mentioned, there was an 8-week covered period.
Mm-hmm.
And there were tons of questions around that. And we kept getting closer and closer and closer and closer to forgiveness. I mean, this week started the 8-week period for some people. And we did get the 24-week extension until last Friday.
Mm.
So, I mean, right up to the last minute, people had planned for 8 weeks and there was a 75-25 split, which means that 75% of your funds had to be spent on payroll and mm-hmm. a maximum of 25% on the non-payroll covered expenses. So people were planning, I have to hit 75% for payroll over 8 weeks. Well, how do I do that? Well, one of the things that I mentioned earlier was that we started looking at forgiveness very early. And so we developed a proprietary in-house modeling system that we have helped some clients of ours take some of their reference period data, some of their projected 8-week period data, and help them project out if they were going to hit forgiveness, if they were going to have any headcount reduction. So that was our first service offering was on the front end to help you achieve your maximum forgiveness.
Mm.
Well, the PPPFA, which is the Payroll Protection Program Flexibility Act, was passed last week. And what it did is it changed the 8-week to a 24-week runway. So now you have more time to use those funds. And then it lowered the bar from 75 to 60% towards payroll. So small businesses that may have had high leases, rents, utilities, and low payroll, it now makes it easier for them to achieve forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them a lower bar and a longer runway. So what we're doing now, we've been on the phone already this week with some of our clients changing their model for them because they're asking us, should I stay with 8 weeks or should I do the 24 weeks? So we've been changing the model to show where they were at 8 weeks, 25-75, as opposed to 24 weeks at 40-60.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still actively doing the modeling for them. And there's a couple of other significant changes that have come out. The headcount reduction was a big hurdle everyone was trying to get over because people had some furloughed employees. Mm-hmm. Well, previously, the guidance came out and said that if you had someone who was terminated for cause, that headcount reduction won't count against you. If you have someone who voluntarily left, that headcount reduction will not count against you. They also said that if you make a qualified written offer to a furloughed employee and they refuse to come back to work, that headcount will be deemed to have been restored. So with the PPPFA, they kept all of those, but gave you a few more. So in Melanie's case, would be a great example. If you have someone who has specialized skill sets and that skill set is needed, that training is needed to do the job, and that person that you furloughed can't or won't come back, and you can't find someone else with that specialized skill set, then that headcount reduction will not count against you. Now, a lot of our restaurant clients we've been talking to, that this next really affects them, was that if you can document that your business operations cannot return to their pre-pandemic level, which is defined as 215. So if you cannot restore your business operations back to the, as they were as of 215 of 2020 because of governmental shutdown orders, then your headcount reduction also will not count against you and it will not lower your forgiveness. Mm. So those were two very large additions to the headcount, which is what was giving most people the trouble. They may get 75% forgiveness, but they had headcount reduction, so they weren't getting full forgiveness. Like I said, so now you've got a couple of more items that you work around the headcount reduction. You've got a longer runway and a lower bar. So it has been incredibly favorable to the borrower. One thing that is surprising is that the maximum amount that any one individual could get for the covered period and have it forgiven was $15,385 in payroll. It's not a magic number. That's a $100,000 cap that you had on your application divided by 52 weeks times 8. So that correlates to the 2 months of payroll that you calculated on your application. Even though they've taken it from 8 weeks or roughly 2 months out to 24 weeks, they have not increased the $15,385. So that is still the maximum amount that you can pay any one individual. You just have a longer time to pay them.
Mm.
So there's a lot of concern about that, disappointment about that. So who knows what tomorrow brings with this. The rules are changing. When they change very quickly. But it seems like a lot of times the guidance is right up until the last minute. I mean, the application for the loans didn't come out until 2 days before they were to start taking the loan applications.
Mm.
So it's just been definitely playing from behind with all of this. And so we're keeping up with it. We have a newsletter that we have that goes out. We've got a dedicated webpage to PPP and all updates and FAQs at FraserDieter.com so that it's helping to keep people informed. The second offering with PPP that Fraser Dieter has is an attestation function. So when you apply for your PPP forgiveness, you have to fill out this application. And you have to take and submit the documentation that supports that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bank basically has to do a loan covenant test, a loan review of this. And so what Fraser Dieter is offering to PPP borrowers is an attestation function, which is very much like an audit. A financial statement audit, we take your financials, we select certain numbers, we say, prove it. And so you provide us with the proof. We dig through that to get a comfort level that this is the right number. And then we go to the next number. And we're taking the same approach with the PPP application. We're providing the highest level of attestation, which means we're going to offer an opinion on Fraser Dieter letterhead that says this application is materially correct.
Mm.
And that is the highest level of attestation that a CPA can offer. And that is much higher than most of our competitors are willing to offer. So that we believe that's going to give Melanie, as the borrower, a very good feeling before she signs her name on that application that this is correct. We think when she takes it to Mike Sims over at Vinings Bank, Mike's going to look at it and is going to say, hey, I work with Bradley. I know how detailed he is. And he's going to say, this is Fraser Dieter's got an opinion on this. I feel comfortable that they have done as much or more work than my bank would have done with loan covenant testing. So I feel good about this. We believe that if Melanie's was randomly selected by the SBA, that the SBA would feel the same way, is that, hey, our work's already been done for us. We're going to put our stamp of approval on this. And one of the reasons we think that with the SBA is just to put some things in perspective. 2019, the SBA guaranteed $39 billion in loans.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 2 months, they've guaranteed $551 billion
in loans. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so when they say they're going to review every loan over $2 million, it's a pretty overwhelming task for them. So
right.
any help they can get, we believe they're going to appreciate.
Now, Melanie, I'm curious about what, I mean, obviously it's conjecture, but I mean, I'm my eyes have rolled back in my head listening to all the changes Bradley just outlined. Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's amazing. What does it look like for you if you don't have this help to get from here to there? I mean, because that's, I know it's a conjecture because you've got it, but what does that look like for you? I mean, because this is just maddening in a way, right?
Right. I mean, yeah. So from, you know, first off, you know, like I said before, had we not gotten the PPP, I wouldn't be sitting at my desk right now. I mean, it would not have been an option, because we depend on our services being billable and to be able to generate that revenue. And so if there aren't any children to see, then, you know, we don't have anything coming and going.
Sure.
On the other end of this though, yeah, and making sure that this is something that we can follow through with all the details of everything for it to be forgiven. You know, it's a daunting task to make sure that you've got all of that information together. It requires a lot of extra work on that end of it also to make sure that you're going to meet that finish line, so to speak, that you're looking toward and hoping that that's going to be forgiven.
Mm.
Because the last thing you want for as a small business owner at the end of the day is to end up with a whole lot more debt in this process.
Right.
You know, we are, even though we have been blessed to reopen now, we're still doing teletherapy. We've reopened and we are seeing whatever children can be seen in the clinic who could not do teletherapy. We're seeing them in our facility now, but we're not back to pre-COVID numbers yet.
Sure.
To where we need to be. So there's still business, you know, recovery we've got to do.
Mm.
Yeah. And let me say something right here. You know, Melanie,
yeah, please.
A lot of debt. I want to remind borrowers that forgiveness is the goal for PPP funds, but if you don't get full forgiveness, don't panic. It's 1% loan. Mm-hmm. And while it's not free money like forgiveness is, it's cheap money.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's always strings attached. So even after the forgiveness period, if you keep the loan, you still have, it's still part of the PPP and you still have to spend it according to program guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
You still have restrictions on that loan on how it's spent, but it's cheap money. It's not the end of the world. And if you don't want the loan, you can prepay it with no prepayment penalty. So you can pay it back at any time and there's no charge for early payment on that. So just, you know, it's not the end of the world if it's not full forgiveness.
And this is where having an advisor like Fraser and Dieter helps clear all that up. Right. I mean, and it helps, first of all, bring calm to,
yeah,
you know, and assurance in what, every decision you make, but knowing you're making decisions based on the latest and best information and experience that y'all bring to the table for your clients.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. And, you know, there's, I think the moral of the story is when you're in Sunday school, listen to the person sitting next to you, not just the teacher, right? So, because they've got something to say and to help each other. So this has been awesome. No, there's lots of great lessons here, but I want to make sure that folks that want to reach out to both of you in some way for your respective services, know where to go. So, Melanie, maybe you can start and tell folks how to be in touch if they'd like to know more about Kids Creek Therapy.
Sure. If you'd like to check out our website, that is kidscreektherapy.com. Our phone number that you can reach our office is 770-888-5221. And then you can email us at info@kidscreektherapy.com, or you can email me directly with my first initial and my last name, mcgriff@kidscreektherapy.com.
Awesome. Bradley.
Yeah. FraserDeeter.com. That's FraserDeeter.com. We have been so involved in PPP. In order to keep my email straight, we set up a specific email account, ppp.info@FraserDeeter.com. So that's one way to reach me and the PPP team. We know it's what it's specifically about when it comes to that email address. And so either myself or somebody on our PPP team will get back to you and talk you through what our services are and what your situation is.
And particularly the PPP forgiveness tool you mentioned that's proprietary that y'all have developed for your clients. And that's specifically, that's one key point people might be interested in, right?
That and the attestation service, getting that opinion
right
on their loan application. Because like I said, the banks we've talked to are thrilled to have this service, especially that level of attestation. And again, I like to give perspective. The banks were pretty overwhelmed with the original application, and it was a one-page application and one page of certifications.
Mm-hmm.
The forgiveness application is 11 pages long.
Right. Yeah. A little different. But, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if you can walk in with a CPA's materially correct opinion on your application, they're not going to take the full 60 days, we believe, to forgive your application. That's going to shorten that window down for those borrowers.
For certain. Wow. Well, this has been great. Melanie McGriff, owner of Kids Creek Therapy, Bradley Carroll, who's principal at Fraser and Deeter. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Folks, if you've got some needs that involve, maybe you've got some bookkeeping needs to get brought up to speed, or because you need your PPP loan forgiven and you've got to have the right books, maybe something like that. Maybe you've got some outsourced administrative tasks that need to be taken care of. Well, I've got an answer for you. It involves calling Essie Escobedo, and she's the chief executive angel over at Office Angels. They've been virtual for 18 years, and they send angels in who have the talent and experience necessary to, get you out of the ditch, okay, and help really you focus on your business so they can focus on all those tedious tasks that need to be done. I know Essie personally. She does a great work. She does work for me, so she's awesome. 770-442-9246 is her phone number, or go to officeangels.us. And just a reminder, you can find this show at northfultonbusinessradio.com. But better than that, when you're now on the run and we're able to get out of our homes, you can go to your favorite podcast app, and that might be Apple, Google, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio. I could go on and on, but just search for North Fulton Business Radio, and you'll find us there. And give us a nice review if you would. It helps us get the word out on great business leaders like Melanie and Bradley. So for my guest, Melanie McGriff, and Bradley Carroll, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.